Philippians, let's see here. Philippians chapter 4 is where we read from this morning. Philippians 4, and this is the mantra, if you would, that my dad lived his life on. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And he stood on the principle that if you can't say something good about someone, don't say anything at all. And I don't think I ever, in all my years with him, heard him say something negative about someone. It was always a positive thing, building people up. And that's something that we need to do. You know, we talked about unity this morning, and that's one of the ways to accomplish that, is to build people up, constantly build people up. And that's, well, that's what the Scripture tells us to do, build each other up in faith and unity. But this passage, I wasn't going to spend a lot of time on it, but as I was sitting here thinking this morning, rejoice in the Lord always. That's a prayer of thanks, isn't it? We've been talking about Thanksgiving a little bit, and oh, by the way, the meal, it's not leftovers. It's planned overs. But thanks for everything that we have, everything that God has given us, give thanks. And you say, well, God hasn't given me much. Well, you're not looking. If that's what you think, you're not looking. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, how does that read? I'm pretty good. I'm going to show everybody how good I am. Is that what that is? Let your moderation know. You're following Christ. People see that. And they say, I want to go along with you in that journey. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. You know, we read in the Bible, and we often read commands, but God doesn't say, do this for no reason at all. He gives us a reason for doing what we do and what He says that we are to do. Let your moderation be known to all men, and here's the reason. The Lord is coming. Now, this was written, what, how many years ago? 2,000 years ago, more or less. And the Apostle Paul believed the Lord was coming. Does that change our thinking today? It's been 2,000 years, maybe not. Where is the coming of the Lord, we may ask. But those are the doubters. We're going to be talking about the Scripture here another time, but and the confidence that we can have in the Word of God. We're going to be talking about that another time. And why we can have confidence in the Word of God. But Jesus is coming. This Word says He's coming, and I believe it. I have confidence in that. And He says, be careful for nothing. Does that mean we're not supposed to be careful about anything? No, He says, don't worry about anything. Don't let the problems of the world upset your cart. You have a job to do. The Lord is coming. You have been given a job to do. We've talked about that in Matthew 28. Go, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Yeah, we've talked about that. All power is given unto me. Those kinds of things. Well, you've been given a job to do. Be careful. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with, well, we've celebrated Thanksgiving. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. When we pray, what do we pray for? I know, Carl, you said you had a long Christmas list. Is that the way we approach God? And I'm not being critical. That's just, you know, the comment. Is that the way we are to approach God? With a long list of I need, I want. Well, we may think we have needs. We may have wants. Is God opposed to us bringing those things to Him? Not at all. Not at all. But when we come to God, our prayers would be different if we would begin with thank you for and think about what God has already given to us. And the focus of our prayer would then not be so much on what I need and what I want, but it would be on what God has already given me in Christ, perhaps. And it would change our entire way of thinking. Our way of thinking about ourselves, our way of thinking about each other would change if we could come to God, say, thank you for what you have given me. Thank you for the family that you have given to me. How I appreciate everyone here today. You're my family, and I thank God for that. Be thankful for everything. Let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. And then what comes? Verse 7. Peace comes. Peace from God. The peace of God passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's really where I was going to go today. Keeping our hearts and minds through Christ. really didn't even have this text in mind, but as I read through there, I think, well, you know, that makes sense. What we read in the Scripture is consistent from one cover to the other. And as we read, we find, hey, you know that line upon line, precept upon precept that Isaiah talked about? It's true. It's true. If we are to develop a character which God can accept, we must form correct habits, particularly in our religious life. Yes, habits in other areas too, but as we find our religious life transforming us, other things happen in our lives, and we become transformed in other areas of our lives as well. I got this quote. I'm not sure exactly where I got it, but credit's given to Margaret Thatcher. This that's printed in your bulletin. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. That's true, isn't it? Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Things you do when you do when you do. Watch your habits, for they become your character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Now, whether she said that or not, I don't know. That's credit, Margaret Thatcher. We should develop the habit of continually lifting our thoughts to God in prayer. Continually. If our mind wanders, bring it back. It requires effort. And we all, yeah, it's often said, well, you know, salvation in Christ, it's given to us, it's a free gift. And, well, that's true. But you know, God says you need to train your lives. You know, you need to be trained. And does God do all the training? Well, He gives us the opportunity to be trained. But you know, it takes a little bit of effort on our part as well. Not for salvation, but for transformation that happens in our lives. God says, follow me. And, well, the disciples, they could have said, nah, I'll go this way. But no, they followed Him. And it took effort on their part to follow Christ. If your mind wanders, bring it back. It requires effort. But like any habit once developed, it becomes easy when we begin to follow the right path. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. What we believe, we think. And what we think, we become. We cannot for one moment separate ourselves from Christ with safety through the power of the Holy Spirit. We may have His presence with us at every step of our life, God is with us. But only by observing the conditions which Christ Himself has given us do we make those steps successfully. Religion, the things that we believe, not just what we might wear on the outside, and that's what we find many people do when they talk about religion. Well, you know, I go to church on Saturday, and well, that's fine. It's a good thing. It's a good to be here on this beautiful Sabbath morning. Speaking of which, there's a restaurant over in Gordonville. It's a pizza place. If you bring your bulletin, you know, from church, you get 20% off on your pizza. I was just wondering if I took the bulletin in and it's got the date, if it was yesterday, if they would give me a 20% off on my pizza. I don't know. If they don't, I say, well, you're just going to church on the wrong day, my friend. That's all there is to it. Anyway, that is something. We need to come together at the foot of the cross is the point. Coming together in unity at the foot of the cross. Penitence at the foot of the cross is the first lesson of peace that we have to learn. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says that Christ is our peace. That's where we get peace. And right here in Philippians, the peace of God passes all understanding. The peace that God has that He's given to us, it comes to us in Christ. If we would know the value of any human being, we must look in living faith upon the cross of Christ. Paul saw that the character of Christ must be understood before we can have any kind of concern for each other at all. In the Acts of the Apostles, this one or two sentences here, here we must begin that study which shall be the science and the song of the redeemed through all eternity. In the cross, in the light of the cross alone, can the true value of the human soul be estimated. The only way that we can ever know the value of our time and our talents, the things that we spend every day, the habits that we learn, the things that we are involved in. The only time that we will ever know the value of all that is in the light of the ransom paid at the cross. A question comes, robbing God. I know in Malachi chapter, where is it, chapter 3? Yeah, it is, verse 3, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, there may be meat in mine house. But there's a few words that come before that. Perhaps we can look at that. Can you recite that, verse 9? Malachi chapter 3.
Will a man rob God?
Verse 8. Will a man rob God? But ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he says, in tithes and in offerings. And then the council, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. But robbing God can occur in other ways. We show ingratitude to God. That's robbing God. If we don't say thank you for everything that He's given to us, that's robbing God of the gratitude that He deserves. We rob Him by withholding from Him our affections and our service. Is it too much to give ourselves to Christ? Paul says no. Remember Romans 12:1? What's that verse say? It's our reasonable service. Giving ourselves to Christ is what? Reasonable. It's not outlandish, but reasonable. He has sanctified all of us and sacrificed all of us. God has given us the power of choice. But how often do we choose the friendship of the world instead of friendship with God? Christ presents to us the passage, sit with me in my throne, even as also I sit with my Father in his throne. Overcome as I have overcome. Revelation 3, verse 21. Well, let's look at Peter. There is often a question also about this passage in Peter. 1 Peter. Actually, 2 Peter. Let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we find that sanctification comes. Well, people often say that sanctification is a progressive work. And it is, isn't it? I mean, you don't say, well, I'm full grown over here. We read, you know, Christ says, here's the ear, here's the seed, here's the ear, here's the corn, here's the full corn in the ear, there's the little shoot. Well, it's all a part of growing up. But here, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. There's some other things that go before, but let's begin with verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have heard it said that, well, first God gives you faith, and then you work. And as you work, you develop virtue. And as that virtue is developed, you learn some things. Well, knowledge. And as you learn things, you become temperate. And it's this progress. Well, I don't know. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall, what? Never fall. Now, in Jude, this never falling, Jude verse 24, something about never falling. He who is able to keep you from falling. What is falling? Sin, isn't it? Is God able to keep us from sinning? I believe He is. If you do these things, you will never sin. Boy, that sounds like a tall order. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly under the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. None of the things listed here can be done individually. They can't. It's impossible. You read the list. It's a package. It all comes together. When God gives us faith, which He does, He gives us these other things too. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Now how we exercise those things may be something altogether different. But all of these things come together in a package. And by following God's plan, we have the assurance that we will never sin. Now, how has your life been? You say, well, yeah, I sin all the time. Sin every day. Why? Well, because you're not allowing faith to work, virtue, knowledge, temperance. We make choices every day. The things that we choose affect our lives every day. And it makes a difference in the things that we choose to do every day. God's plan is true growth in grace. And it talks about here, add this, add that. But you know, a little bit earlier, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. Multiplied? I thought it said addition. God works on a plan of multiplication. And we think, well, I'm going to have to add. You know, that's work. No. God says, no, you need something. It's on you. That verse over there in Malachi chapter 3, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, comes with a promise. And I will pour you out a blessing. How much? Just add a little. so great that you will not be able to receive it. Now that's multiplication. Verse 3 here. According as his divine power hath... How much good things has he given us? I was watching this little video on YouTube. I know I waste a lot of time over there. But it was about... Dubai. That's what it was, Dubai. It's a country that has more money than they need. And they were showing the supercars. And they had a supercar rally or something, I don't know, but the streets were full of them. You know, whatever you can think of. $1 million cars, multi-million dollar cars. And then they went to a scrap yard. And they say, these cars, they just get left at the airport, parked on the side of the street, whatever. And I don't know why someone would do that, but they do. You know, a Maserati or whatever, you know. It's just parked at the airport. It sits there for weeks. And so the tow truck comes and hauls it off. And so they've got this boneyard of all these supercars, you know, just covered in dust. I thought, what in the world? You know, if God would give me some of that. He says he's given us all things here, doesn't it? Well, what does it say? Given unto us all things that what? Pertain unto life and godliness. He says, you know, you really don't need that Ferrari or that Maserati or whatever it is. You really don't. He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All things. I remember back in Genesis chapter 28, there was a story of a man laying there on the ground with his head on a rock, and he had a dream. You remember Jacob. And you remember the dream that Jacob had. He saw a ladder going up from the earth to heaven, the angels going up and down. What was that ladder? Jesus Christ. How did the ladder reach all the way to the earth, or was it short, one rung?
All the way.
All the way. All the way from heaven to earth. And by grace, anyone can climb those steps. Anyone can climb those steps from earth to heaven. And at last, with songs of everlasting joy, enter into the city of God. Christ gave himself for us. He gave all of himself for us. He gave all of himself to us. And by virtue of that gift, he asks that we give all that there is of us. Our only safety is surrender of our all to Christ, and by constantly growing in the grace and knowledge of the truth. The Apostle Paul had been accustomed to being in the presence of Christ. Now, as I understand it, Paul never actually met Jesus. Not physically walking on the street, he never met him. But he had become accustomed to being in the presence of Christ because he knew Christ in his character. He had seen Christ in vision there on that road to Damascus, and he made it his study to know the character of Christ. And in his vision there on that road, he was taken to, well, the third heaven. How many heavens are there, by the way? One heaven? Well, Genesis 1:1 says God made the heavens and the earth. Plural. Genesis 1:8 says that he made the firmament and he called it heaven. Psalm 19. Well, let's see here. Psalm 19, what does that say? The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Apparently, there's more than one heaven. So what are they? Well, we have the heaven, as was related here in Genesis. We have the heaven that we breathe. The firmament, it says, it's called the heaven. And that's good. That's where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the stars are. And the third heaven is where God is. And that's Psalm 33:16. It's the place where God is, the third heaven. So Paul, in his vision, saw Christ in the third heaven. Paul suffered for the truth's sake. And yet we hear no complaints from his lips. And as we close here today, I'd like to read a little bit from the book of Romans and just see what Paul had to say. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. It's his shout of victory, really. After living a life, being buffeted and in jail and whatnot, you know, you can read other places how he was treated. And Romans 8, beginning with verse 35, are we there? Who shall separate us from the love of God, or love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Boy, what a story. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. His words describe the results of that sanctification that comes only by faith. Only by faith. And in 2 Timothy, he records another little bit of his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read a couple of verses there. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. And that goes back to that persistence, that consistency in our lives, doesn't it? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Jesus is coming. That's where we started out there in Philippians chapter 4. The Lord is coming. And Paul believed that. What a privilege it is to be a Christian in this day and age, just before Jesus returns in the clouds of glory. Thanks be to God. 2 Corinthians, he writes again, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And as we consider this season of thanks and thanksgiving, let's think about our prayers and the prayers that we make every day. Start out with a prayer of thanks. Don't start out with, oh God, I'm so poor and tired and weak, and help me. Start out saying, God, thank you for preserving my life one more day. Thank you for bringing me one day closer to the second coming of Christ. Thank you for the promise of your return. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And our lives would be transformed if we would do that. Our prayers would be different if we would start our prayers in that way. Join me in praying that prayer. Thank you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the gift of Christ. He came that ladder all the way down to this earth, not one rung short, but all the way to us. And we thank you so much for that. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you for the gift of perseverance. We thank you for the gift of, well, all these things we read there in that letter of Peter's. Patience. We thank you for the love that you've given to us so that we can share it with others. And we ask now that you will be with us as we go out of this place, that we can share that thankfulness with others, showing them how much you love us in giving us Christ. So be with us now. Bless us, we ask. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.